So this is my prop, and so what I want to do, it's 100 feet of string, and I want you to pass it around, and I'll keep talking while you pass it from person to person. And so what this is 100 feet of string, and each, this represents the time we've been humans. So every foot is 10,000 years, if you can imagine that. Okay, so the time we've been farming is about that long in terms of this whole piece of string. And then recorded history is about that long. And then the Industrial Revolution is about that long. And then the Industrial Age is the little wispy hairs right at the end of the piece of string. Okay, so now I'm going to come back a bit. So come back to about, oh, I need a bit more. Okay, so about 5 feet back, so 50,000 years, I'm going to put a little knot in there. And just something happened. So this comes from, has anyone read the book Sapiens by Harari? Yeah, so what he says is, oh, I don't know if it's true, but it sounds reasonable, but about 50,000 years ago, something happened to us as human beings, which I think is relevant to us as Buddhists. And that's, as human beings, and what defines us as human beings is that we're storytellers, and we start to mediate our lives, our experience, our cultures even are stories, and so we're basically fundamentally storytellers. So each of us in this room has a story about who we think we are, and the various groups that we're a part of also have a story. And a lot of the history of humanity is the interaction between one group that has one story and another group that has another story. And so these stories are kind of helpful in one way, because they create a pattern and understanding of who we are and what we are. But I think stories also get in the way. And I think as meditators, this has been really quite insightful to me as a meditator. I think the first thing that happens to us when we sit down to meditate is we encounter the storytelling capacity that we have. You know, a lot of the distractions that we first encounter when we meditate, it's that whole structuring of our experience through some kind of story. And it's sort of, you know, it's overcut. Those are really the hindrances, I suppose, you could say. And so my talk is a lot about exploring what these stories are and how we can navigate through them. And I think Buddhism has a lot to offer us. But interestingly, I think Buddhism itself, if you think the Buddha actually kind of said this himself, that the Dharma can't really be explained in words, it can't really be understood conceptually. So the stories that we have around reality aren't adequate to the task. So really, there's something about reality which we need to transcend the stories. But ironically, Buddhism itself has a very strong story, you know, which it's kind of these things, they just sort of stick. They're like flypaper, I suppose. And it's the question is just how we can transcend stories and what we do about that. So I think in terms of stories, the first thing is I see a bit of a hierarchy, I suppose, in storytelling, and that actually if we've got a negative story, it's quite probably beneficial to go from a negative story to a positive story. So positive stories have their use. I'm not saying, you know, they're no use at all. But I think once you've got a positive story, then maybe at some point down the track, to have no story at all might be quite an interesting place to arrive into. And I've had personal encounters with this myself, and this I would say this is where the Bardo teachings of Buddhism from the Tibetan tradition are kind of instrumental. And that's obviously talking about death. So that's obviously, you know, when you encounter death, that's the end of your story, as it were. But also throughout our lives, we encounter all sorts of situations where our story comes to an end. So maybe you lose your job, or you're made homeless, or a relationship comes to an end, or something like this. And you know that experience, it's just suddenly you feel ungrounded. And if you look at what the Tibetan Book of the Dead communicates, it says, well, you know, just stay with try and open to the white light of reality. And that's often the experience that you have. It's just too much, because your story sort of closes things down to a manageable amount, and you're sort of opened up, and it's just you feel really uncomfortable. And what the Tibetan Book of the Dead teachings say, on the one hand you've got the sort of blinding reality which is too intense, and then you've got the dull light of comfort on the other. And that's the situation that we are in. And if we choose the less comfortable option, we collapse this really big situation down to a very small situation. And if we keep doing that for long enough, we get trapped in a life that's very small, and not as big as it might be. My experience when these bardos of life, if I can manage to just stay in that place of discomfort, and in that place of discomfort, because you've lost your story, you don't know what's important anymore, because our stories are a way to edit life down, to say, actually, this is what my life's about, and this, all these little things here are important to me, and you disregard almost everything else. And so that's why it's useful. But in the Spardo experience, almost anything might be useful. You say, well, is this relevant to me or not? So in the Bardo, we need a sort of some sort of guidance to know the things that are really worth choosing. But just personally, from my own experiences, being in that place, I've almost every time I've been in it and sustained that sort of point of discomfort, something has come into my life which I could never have imagined, and it just opens my life to something I could never have dreamed of. And so that's my sort of big message from this talk, is we could be much bigger than we are if we sort of could open to influences beyond that we can imagine. And that's the trouble. Our stories sort of often just stay in the confines of what we can imagine, and often that's, you know, not maybe that impressive, if you like. Well, not impressive, I don't quite know what the right adjective is. So I'll just sort of give you a little potted history of my own little journey. So it started not with a ball of string. I don't know where the ball of string's got to. It's got all the way around, is it? Yeah, so maybe we can just hold it up and get a sense of what a million years looks like. Yeah, in terms of, I started with a ball of clay. So this is about 24 years ago. I was at Burrendale Retreat Centre. I reached into a ball of clay, and I was with a sculptor, and we were doing creativity retreats. So I reached into this ball of clay, and I started, and this face started to emerge. I'd just been ordained and had been doing a meditation on Prajnaparamita, the mother of the Buddhas. And as the weekend went on, a face started to emerge out of this amorphous material. And I was sort of a bit taken aback about, oh my goodness, you know, where did that come from? And then, so over about 3.5 years, how are we going to be doing for time?
5 minutes.
Okay. So about 3.5 years, I ended up making the whole figure. And then, having made the figure, I said, what do I do now? And I had the opportunity to go out to Spain. And so I helped to set up what's called the Gukyuloka Vihara, which was a kind of monastic situation. And we were like hermits living on the hillside. So I lived in a yurt on the hillside with Prajnaparamita, meditating on her essence. And then after 4 years, I had just an incredible meltdown. I described this like I was like a tree trying to reach towards the light of the sun, and then the tree kind of toppled over, and I just couldn't meditate anymore. I couldn't do spiritual practice of any kind. But for a whole year, I ended up making a plinth and a nimbus for the sculpture. So, and I thought, what's this about? I don't understand this mudra. What's this about? And so what I realized, I needed to create a context for the sculpture. I was focusing on the sculpture, I needed to create a context. So I came to Butterfield 2001 with this idea, somehow or another I was going to make a sanctuary for the sculpture, like a world for her to inhabit. So I came to that festival, it's called Mythic Journeys to Sacred Places, and it was because of the theme that I decided to come, because that was in resonance with what I was aiming to do. And so I came to the festival, and within about 2 or 3 days, this guy comes up and says, I really like your sculpture, would you like some land for it? And if you come to this festival, you'll win, I can guarantee you'll win 3 acres of land for your sculpture. And so that's what happened. It wasn't 3 acres, it was 1.5 acres, but very beautiful land next to the Butterfield land. And then that took 5 years, and then for the last 8 years I've been making a forest garden, which is it's a food system, and I thought initially that it was a permaculture project, but I'm realizing in a way I have a great devotion to the mother, sort of the great mother of Buddhism, which is Prajnaparamita, but sort of another layer. I'm feeling like a really pertinent response to our crisis in the environment is we need to recalibrate our responses to nature, which I think we can conceive of as a living being, which I see as the Great Mother. And so my forest garden, or the forest garden I've been engaging with, is offering to the Great Mother, or perhaps an expression of her. And so you can see all these themes, kind of one just kind of led to the next. It wasn't like right at the beginning I had a sense of, oh, that's the goal I'm heading towards. So this is the whole idea of emergence. With the story, I can only see the story in hindsight as things have unfolded. And so this is a sort of, for me, it's sort of the implications of anatta, the no-self doctrine. And that basically, if we let go of our stories and allow our sort of bigger story to sort of come through us, and so on and so forth. So I'll finish there. But I'm running a retreat on this, or a little workshop on the forest garden, and the mandala of deep purpose. So I use the mandala as a symbol, or a practice to engage with the themes I've been talking about. So that's on the 8th and 9th of September, and you'd be very welcome to come along.